9, 60 seconds.
Best recorders, high speed.
5.
Open solo fuel vent.
Open. 3, 2, 1, 0.
Start.
I would like to welcome you to a new episode of the podcast series Crossroads. I will be your host today. My name is Zuzana Ohde, and I'm a social researcher working at the Institute of Sociology of the Czech Academy of Sciences. The podcast Crossroads is created through a collaboration between Alarm and the research program Global Conflicts and Local Interactions, which is funded by the Czech Academy of Sciences. The series invites social scientists whose research addresses important topics and issues of our globalizing world. Today, I have the pleasure to invite Brigitte Eulenbacher, who is a professor of sociological theory and social analysis, the head of the Department of the Theory of Society and Social Analysis at the Johannes Kepler University of Linz in Austria, and also co-editor of Global Dialogue, the magazine of the International Sociological Association. In addition, she is a vice president of the International Karl Polanyi Society. Her fields of research include social inequalities and justice, and theoretical and empirical work on labor, care, marketization, and science. She's a distinguished scholar and author of many academic publications whose work made important contributions bridging theories of contemporary capitalism, critical theory, and feminist theory. In 2019, she received the Kurt Rothschild Award for her work on Karl Polanyi. So welcome, Brigitte.
Thank you very much for your kind invitation. I'm really happy to be here and to discuss.
You are one of the most prominent social theoreticians working in a tradition of critical sociology. For that reason, I would like to start with a bit more theoretical question. Recently, you have extensively focused in your research on commodification and marketization of care. It is part of your long-term interest in crisis tendencies and transformations of contemporary capitalism. You work with a Polanyian framework which sees social development through a lens of double movement, marketization and its counter movement for protection from the market. Can you briefly explain to our listeners what it means to see care as a fictitious commodity and how does this double movement manifest in care practices?
I would like to start with the question, what is care and why is a capitalist society a structurally careless society? Because that leads me then to how I will work with Polanyi. It is not a short answer, but if it is a too long answer, please interrupt me. So first of all, for those who are not working in the field of care, I would like to explain what is care. The sociology of care suggests to think of human beings in terms of their neediness and dependence, which makes care and care work indispensable to sustain livelihood. In such a perspective, care has to be seen as a human activity which responds to the always given contingency and vulnerability of life. So everybody needs care every day and lifelong. There is now a fundamental contradiction of the capitalist economy that let me characterize it as a structurally careless economy. The capitalist economy is based on care as a precondition of its functioning in terms of the reproduction of the species, of the commodity labor power. But the capitalist economy either neglects or subordinates care and care work. And there are three dimensions of this kind of what I call a structural carelessness of capitalism. First, the capitalist economy abstracts from care needs. They are ignored or neglected if they are fulfilled to the functionally necessary extent otherwise in the private household, in social networks, by relatives, by the state, anywhere else. Second, this idea is related to the mode of functionalizing care and care work for the capitalist economy. If children are educated in schools, they are not only children who have to be cared, they, in this perspective, are human capital of the future. And this means functionalizing other sectors for the capitalist economy. And the last and third point, and this is the point we can come to the Polanyian view, is the third point is that we have an mode of commodification and valorization of care and care work, which is very remarkable. This means care provision by the capitalist economy itself takes place in the frame of capital utilization of the profit motive and some more, and it is organized by the modern and capitalist principles like competition, and it's included in the market exchange with its mechanisms of demand, of supply, of price, of costs, of profits. And in part, it's industrialized. If we think about the care technologies like the robotics or ambient assisted living. And this means this last tendency, this last dimension is the most important in our times. We are witnessing emerging care markets. We are witnessing a very vivid production of care technologies. We are witnessing that care is more and more covered by the Andrew and Eurocentric idea of progress by the scientific and technological development. And this is the point where I refer to Karl Polanyi. His work has been rediscovered in the post-communist phase of globalization after 1989 and after, in particular, after the crisis of finance 2007 to 2009. I take up two concepts you already have mentioned. One is the concept of the double movement and the other is the concept of the fictitious commodities to analyze and to understand what is going on in the field of care and care work, in the field of this increasing commodification and marketization of care and care work. His works belongs to the modern classics, those who never have heard his name. It belongs to the modern classic and classics. And Karl Polanyi himself witnessed the economic liberalization after the First World War, the 1929 stock market crash, the subsequent Great Depression, the socialist and the fascist movements of the first half of the last century, as well as the New Deal in the USA, and all of them striving to reorder the society. And finally, he witnessed the Second World War. His masterpiece is published in 1944, The Great Transformation, and it reconstructs the economic, cultural, and social history of capitalism in the 19th century as the result of a double movement. And when we have to look through the lenses of Polanyi and try to understand what is happening now, then we can see that we have a similar situation of double movements. On the one hand, a movement of increasing marketization, and this also includes the marketization of care and care work in new forms, in new modes of marketization. And on the other hand, we have a lot of protest, not only in the field of care, but also in the field of care, which is can be interpreted as protest in the form of labor disputes, as well as care protests or care struggles, which can be interpreted as counter movements seeking for protection against the dynamics of the market. So I make use of Polanyian arguments to understand what happens in contemporary capitalism in this era of neoliberalism, starting in the 1970s and forced in the 1990s and ongoing until today. This is the idea is the Polanyian idea behind is what is the reason why such counter movements, such struggles, labor disputes, care struggles develop. What's the reason behind? The reason behind, in the sense of Polanyi, is that the liberal and neoliberal marketization of what he calls fictitious commodities is destructive. Fictitious commodities, from his perspective, these are elements which never have been produced at all, or which never have been produced for sale. So from his perspectives, these are labor, land, and money. And he writes concerning labor, in his words again, labor is only another name for a human activity which goes with life itself, which in its turn is not produced for sale, but for entirely different reasons. Nor can that activity be detached from the rest of life, be stored or mobilized. And this is the same or similar with care. Care, as I described it, starting this answer, care as described is nothing else than a human activity, and it's the same situation. It cannot be detached from the rest of life, be stored and mobilized. So if we have a kind of marketization which is centered around the mechanisms of supply and demand, prices, costs, profits, then such fictitious commodities like labor, like care, tends to be destroyed by the market dynamics. And this is the reason why, from a Polanyian perspective, counter movements evolve. People, and this means very, these are not in a Polanyian conflict, in a Polanyian perspective, these conflicts are not class conflicts. There can be class conflicts. There can be labor movements articulating their interests, but there can also be other movements. And we, in the field of care, we have a lot of care protests, which cannot be described only as labor movements or as class conflicts. There are a lot of other conflicts anyhow. And these counter movements seeking for protection are motivated by the experience, the everyday life experience of the destructive effects of neoliberal marketization of labor and, in our case, care. And that's the reason why I go back to this modern classic, because I think that the idea to describe and to analyze and to present history in
in the form of a double movement. The movement of marketization, the counter movement, by which society seeks for protection from and against the effects of the liberal marketization and the neoliberal marketization, is very helpful to understand what is going on in the field of care at the moment. This does not mean that other theorists are not important. We can have a look through the lenses of Karl Marx as well as Max Weber to understand what is going on in the field of care and care work at the moment. We can consider care as rationalization. We can have a look on, in a Marxian perspective, the exploitation in the field of care. So I think all these theories are very helpful and are very interesting. And so my reference to Karl Polanyi does not mean that this is the only theorist we should consider, but he is one of the most important theorists, and this makes it of interest to have a look through these lenses on the field of care and care work.
Thank you very much for outlining this theoretical framework and the concept that actually we can see, we can use in the analysis of the practice of care practices, which actually now I would like to move to more like practical questions and practical side of your research in Austria, actually, where you are based. So Austria is infamously known for the model of so-called professionalization of 24-hour live-in care work for all the people, which was introduced in 2007. In practice, what it means is that mainly women from other Central and Eastern European countries or outside EU countries work in older people's homes as self-employed care workers, which, however, exempts them from several labor rights standards, which are guaranteed in other labor market sectors in Austria, including such as minimum wage, paid overtime, required breaks, sick leave, or other social benefits. So this model is also increasingly criticized for exploiting care workers and benefiting from and reproducing international and global inequalities. On the other hand, however, it is also widely used as the most convenient and cheapest way to provide care for all the people. So can you sketch out for our listeners how does the debate about this particular 24-hour live-in care work model in Austria look like? Who stands up as its most prominent critics, or on the other hand, who defends it? What does the debate look like?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much for this question. It's very interesting because I'm involved in two projects on live-in care and also other modes of care provision. I should mention that I'm not alone working on it. It's a collaborative project, one with colleagues from the University of Zurich and the University of Frankfurt, Helma Lutz, Eva Palenga-Möllenbeck, and Jennifer Steiner and Karin Schwitter, and in Austria also Veronika Prila and Michael Leibelfinger. And I think I should mention this because it's a collaborative work over years, and I can present some of the country study of Austria. And I would like to start with a little bit looking back to it, because Austria is indeed, as you already has mentioned, a very interesting case with regard to the questions of decent care and decent work, because it has become a forerunner of neoliberal marketization of live-in care in Europe. And This has been the reason for this has been that Austria, the government in Austria decided already in 2007 to legalize this mode of care provision. And after legalization, it became more and more formalized and professionalized. So we have in Austria a legal neoliberal, radically neoliberal model of live-in care, which is more and more formalized and professionalized. And if we want to understand what happens today, it makes sense to have a short look on the history of this model. In the early 1990s, there has been an informal market for live-in care. It began to establish by networks of the care workers, or by very few and very small brokers or brokering agencies, you could call them today. And they recruited women from neighboring Central and Eastern European countries, like the Czech Republic and Slovakia. They have been very important at that time. In Austria, there is a stable, very stable, until today, pattern that seniors want to be cared at home. And this stable pattern of home care society, as Frau Effinger would describe it, and the legalization of live-in care and the parallel orientation of the welfare state on cash for care policies converged into a flourishing market. This means beginning in the first decade of the 2000, we have an emerging and increasing market, a flourishing market, and this small Austria now has round about 1,000 brokering agencies offering their services by recruiting 60,000 carers, care workers, from now predominantly Slovakia and Romania, and placing them into 30,000 households. And there are two modes of organizing care work. This is very important. The one is the one you already mentioned. It's a very radical, market radical, neoliberal self-employment model with care workers as self-employees and entrepreneurs. They are entrepreneurs of their own workforce, if you want to describe it this way. This means this self-employment model is covered by the social insurance, but it's not covered by the labor rights in terms of law, as well as in terms of representation by the trade union or by the Chamber of Labor. It's mandatory represented by the Chamber of Commerce, like the brokering agencies too. The other model, and this is very important, is an employer and employee relation. There is a model of employment, which is a restricted model of employment. It is strongly limited. Only the households are allowed to employ the care workers, or the welfare organizations are allowed to do so. So this means there are few potential employers. And in practice, the self-employment model is the dominant model. And we find nearly 97% of the care workers in the self-employment model and only few percents in the employment model, but the employment model exists. And this is very important that it exists. Why? Because we have a lot of, coming back to Polanyi, Polanyian movements and counter movements in this field of live-in care. First of all, we have the brokering agencies. They play a crucial role as protagonists of the self-employment model. So they have a lot of influence on the working conditions without being responsible for the working conditions, and they strive to improve the quality of care without improving the working conditions. This means that they are strong neoliberal protagonists of the self-employment model, and they are permanently formalizing and improving their own services. This means also the quality of care as intermediated by them, but not the working conditions. In our project, we called it then decent care without decent work. That's the model in its core. The agencies promise decent care in the sense of professional care, stable care relations, very helpful for the relatives, supportive for the carers, and so on, but without any responsibility for the working conditions in this mode of care provision. Then we have a very prominent and important stakeholder in the field, of course, that's the Austrian government. The Austrian government is part of the formalization of the live-in care model, and the most prominent aspect is that the government created a quality seal, the ÖQZ 24. It's a quality seal which certifies the quality of the brokering agency's services. And this means it goes in the same direction like the brokering agencies go to attempt to improve care, to attempt to improve the services of the brokering agencies without taking into consideration that the working conditions are poor in this mode of care provision. Then we have next very important stakeholder in the field. This is the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce is the representative of the brokering agencies as well as the care workers. They have a mandatory membership in the Chamber of Commerce. And the Chamber of Commerce is a stakeholder with a very radical neoliberal agenda of improving the self-employment model as consultant of the brokering agencies as well as the care workers. From the perspective of the Chamber of Commerce, this is a very, very remarkable advantage. From the perspective of those who are critical, this is a very remarkable disadvantage that the care workers as well as the brokering agencies are mandatory members of the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce represents their interests. So then we have in the field another stakeholder, the Chamber of Labor. The Chamber of Labor is also discussing about the working conditions in these fields, but the caregivers, the care workers are not members of the Chamber of Labor because they are self-employees. And this means the Chamber of Labor's influence is very limited. It is more or less an influence with regard to the consumer protection and less with regard to the working conditions. And we have in the fields trade unions, but we have the same situation like the Chamber of Labor has, because there's only one trade union which is a representative of so-called one-person enterprises. And this is a trade union which also can represent the care workers because they are one-person enterprises in the self-employment model. But the trade unions, the other trade unions, of course, represent the employees, and we have merely employees in the field. So therefore, the organizations of the care workers are very important. Their own organization they have founded in the last years. There are some organizations. One is a very prominent one, the IG 24, it's the name. And this organization has been awarded in 2021, awarded with the Social Innovation Prize. And the most important point is that this organization is a strong representative of the idea to reorganize the live-in care model profoundly by implementing an employer and employee relation. They are interested in substituting the self and replacing the self-employment model by an employment model. And this is a very interesting case because if an employment model should be possible and not restricted in the given way that employment only is possible in the household or only is possible in the welfare organizations, then this would be a fundamental change of the live-in care provision in Austria, because the business case we have in Austria builds up on self-employment. The brokering agencies are not allowed to employ. So this means if we have such a discussion or perhaps in future labor struggles or care protests against the self-employment model and for an employment model, this would go along with a fundamental change. This means on the one hand, in Austria, we have a very advanced, marketized, a formalized, professionalized mode of care provision. And the flip side is the flip side of the self-employment model is that it is not covered by any regulation of working conditions, and everything concerning the working conditions is regulated indirectly by the agencies, but only indirectly, or informally in the household. And this means that this forerunner model, the agencies in Switzerland, the agencies in Germany are protagonists and try to convince their government, their governments, to take the Austrian model of self-employment as a very good example for their own countries. And they strive to organize a self-employment model comparable to the Austrian care of care provision. And this means that in this neoliberal forerunner, only the story of success is discussed, the story of legalization, the story of formalization, the story of professionalization, but that this model still is a very informal one in terms of working condition, this is totally neglected.
Yeah. Well, thanks for giving us sense actually of the situation in Austria. And it's also interesting how how it is presented as a success case, which might be even copied in other countries. And I would be actually interested, you mentioned the different care protests, we can call it, the also the organization of care workers. So I would be actually interested if you think that these protests or these critical voices gained momentum with this COVID-19 pandemic, because I think we can say that the pandemic was a kind of magnifying glass that highlighted also these structural inequalities and shortcoming of the care sector, with closing of borders and sudden shortage of care workers, or really a debated risk of an acute shortage of care workers. So I would like to ask you if you can briefly mention if you think there are some new care protests that appeared in the aftermath of the pandemic, or if maybe, even labor unions picked up more and are more active in these protests. So if you see any difference between and after the pandemic.
To be honest, no. I don't see a big difference in terms of protests, in terms of counter movements, in terms of labor struggles, and in terms of trade unions activities. But there are indeed some changes. The interesting case is that the agencies then, in the later stage of the pandemic, went into a very strong collaboration with each other and the Chamber of Commerce. They act as professional crisis managers in collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce and tried to consolidate the live-in care through the pandemic. And they did a lot of additional work, like inform about the pandemic rules and measures of the different Austrian states. They organized testing, they organized vaccination, they distributed personal protective equipment and anything else. So, and the interesting case is that we have the same pattern as we found before. They have done everything to improve their services, to make possible that the service workers could travel, that the care workers could stay in Austria. But they did it in the same way at cost of the working conditions. The care workers had to stay not 2 weeks or 4 weeks, what's the usual rota in live-in care in Austria. They had to stay for months. And some for 6 months without any additional payment. If they have had any additional payment, then it has been informal payment by the relatives. Or if they could not make use of the transport, because transport has been more expensive in the pandemic, or it has not been offered anymore, then the relatives stepped in and offered transport. So we had the same situation as before. The broken agencies have done everything to professionalize their services and to make them sure and to guarantee them through the pandemic, but at cost of the working conditions, and all working conditions have been negotiated in the informal situation in the households again. So it's interesting that we have a very strict consolidation of live-in care through the pandemic, and an increasing number of broken agencies, and a stable number of care workers and care recipients. So this this management of this crisis from the agencies is described as a story of success.
It's interesting. Yeah, so probably it speaks more for the consolidation of this business model. Well, nevertheless, I still would like to ask you about alternatives to this model. So what could be the viable alternatives besides the employment model you mentioned? So we can argue that the cross-border care market, which uses and exploits mobile care workers as cheap labor, in fact block a societal counter-movement against marketization, to recall a Polanyian analysis, because it makes social crisis of care less urgent in wealthier countries like Austria. And in this sense, like improving working conditions and increasing salaries of those care workers would make the care deficits more visible and distressing, because many people or more people would not be able to afford the private 24-hour live-in care. So it would also shed a clear light on the fact that this model of aging at home based on this 24-hour live-in one-to-one care is not really sustainable. So what do you see as a viable alternative to this model in the context of EU? And how can we actually imagine just and sustainable provision of care? Are there any examples of a real utopia, if I borrow Eric Olin Wright's term, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that is a very interesting question and very important what you describe for the future discussion about care and care work and the perspective of living care, if it can have a perspective in this model. First of all, I would say one problem is a deficit on the level of the European Union. We have an economic union, and it becomes more and more a political union, but we don't have a union in terms of social policy. This means that we indeed have a very difficult welfare gap between the countries. And as long as people are forced and pushed to migrate, we cannot indeed expect that this will not be lead into such exploitative care arrangements. We have a very difficult market in Austria, and there is a huge discussion about this market. On the one hand, there are agencies who are in the frame of what is the usual frame, 70 to 90 euro for 24 hours, what is very few money. And on the other hand, we find agencies brokering living care for 30 euro per 24 hours. And this means, as long as we have such a gap between the countries in terms of welfare, in terms of income, in terms of sustainable living conditions, we will have such an exploitative mode of care provision on a so-called free market. This means, first of all, that in Austria there is only one very effective measure and instrument to interfere in this market and to regulate the market. This is the support and the funding and assistance of the government. In the case that the government would decide to relate the funding by the cash for care policies, the direct support and as well as the indirect support, to the conditions of care provision and working conditions. And that would be possible in the given Austrian law. It would be possible. Then you could avoid such exploitative conditions. You could indeed restrict the could indeed restrict the brokering agencies by giving them an advantage on the market if they play in a kind of fair condition, fair working conditions, fair conditions of care provision. So the state would be a very, very important actor in this play. But at the moment, I don't see that the state's initiatives go in this direction. Another point is, and this is very important, there is no need that the brokering of live-in care is totally in the hands of the private sector. There are some few initiatives, a model in one of the Austrian countries in Vorarlberg, where the public sector is acting as broker. And this means that they don't make profit and from the brokering. It's a non-profit organization in this case. And this means that they are more flexible and they don't intermediate only the live-in care model. They also intermediate if people wants to have a mobile service, if people wants to have some hours, but not 24 hours. And this means that there is more flexibility than in the one-to-one live-in care. And it could be an idea to extend such services on this market. That's the second point. A third point is that a difficulty is the self-employment model. On the one hand, the care workers organization say it should be forbidden, of course, but it exists. And this means you have to reorganize it in a way which makes it more sustainable for the care workers as well as for the care recipients. But the difficulty of this model is that you have no access to the regulation of the working conditions. That's impossible in this model. Without a very fundamental re-regulation of the law. And I don't see that we can expect that in near future, perhaps in the long run. And there are some other initiatives. I'm working together with two colleagues, Florian Pimminger and Valentin Fröhlich, and my colleague Andreas Novi, in a common project on caring communities and compared to the live-in care model. And this is interesting that in Austria, now a wider discussion on caring communities has been started. This means neighborhood networks supported by professional services, by mobile services. And it's the first time in the history of this senior home care in Austria that the government also is supportive to such initiatives. So I expect that we will have a lot of good examples in the next few years in terms of caring communities, but there are two obstacles. One is usually these are local initiatives, and this does not resolve the problem of migration, of labor migration. These are not the employers for those migrant care workers who are now in the self-employment model, because they are recruiting there the workforce for these caring communities, because it's strongly interconnected in this neighborhood network. And this would not resolve the problem of those care workers who are now living in live-in care, but it would be open the perspective to include live-in care in new ways in the neighborhood networks. What means that it could indeed improve the situation of care workers in the living care model if there are more mobile services or other services who can be who can complement the live-in care model. What also would make the make possible that live-in care workers can have other breaks, other forms of time management, that they can leave the household, that they can be supported by such a network. So I would expect that there are fluid models to include living care, but indeed the basis of the caring communities is another one. And from Austria, we have to look to Germany in this case, looking for the alternatives, because in Germany there is advanced discussion in the meantime about senior home care and the live-in care model. And in Germany, there are also researchers, but also a lot of groups from different fields of practice, the trade unions, as well as care workers initiatives, just to mention the research group of Bernhard Emunds. They are indeed working on new live-in care models. And their own thesis is, this is not possible without an employment model. At the same time, when the brokering agencies in Germany wants to implement the Austrian self-employment model, they say live-in care cannot be improved without an employment model, and they are experimenting with a shift system. So it should be go away from the one-to-one personal care relation into a shift system where more than one or two carers are responsible for the care recipients, but in the rota of a regular shift system and not in the rota of 2 weeks or 4 weeks and 24-hour shifts. So they are experimenting with 8-hour shifts, with 10-hour shifts. And this goes into the direction to change the core element of live-in care, the live-in itself, in favor of a live-out model, which guarantees nevertheless that people can be cared at home. But this is not a discussion in Austria. In Austria, we have a very weak discussion at the moment, few first initiatives on the local level, that there is a discussion, shall we continue the one-to-one care arrangement, or is it better to think about one carer and two care recipients, or residential care communities, or something like this? And the interesting case is this is an alternative counter movement, like the caring communities, a movement of progressive people or of people who want to go back to a more traditional idea of community. They have in common that they are often criticizing the neoliberal Austrian welfare state, but of course they are afraid that they are filling the gaps of the neoliberal, the care gaps of the neoliberal welfare state by engaging in volunteer work and something like this instead of paid and professional work. And on the other hand, we have also brokering agencies in Austria thinking about residential care communities, but they are thinking about a neoliberal self-employment model and the idea what is not permitted at the moment, not allowed by law at the moment, with the idea whether it would be a way to organize the self-employment, to reorganize the self-employment model in form of a residential care community model, what means that we don't have one carer in a household, but more than one carers in a household, two or three, with a division of labor and caring for more than one person. And so indeed we have movements and counter movements in the field, and a lot of very interesting examples and initiatives, but you cannot say it goes in this or in that direction at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. I guess it also clearly shows how the care disputes are related to more general changes and development in labor relations, which is also the focus of your research. You know, the general push towards precarization and also the self-employment model is not only being more and more prevalent, not only in care sector, but in other sectors as well. Well, also for that reason, I'm really glad that you accepted our invitation for this podcast. At least, you know, we supported our Central European Exchange. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I'm really happy that I already know that we will continue our exchange. And that's really great. Thank you very much for inviting me.